We missed him last week. He was vacationing, I believe, off the southern coast of France. He's Dick Weiss of WeissWright.com, also 30-year editor with the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He was a 20-year editor of the Metro section. WeissWright.com is his website, and he's a media critic, and he's our friend, and he joins us every Monday. Dick, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Good to be here.
All right. We missed this last week, but the Deb Peterson-Bill O'Reilly feud.
Really?
Oh, you didn't hear about this?
No.
Oh.
Bring me up to date.
Deb Peterson wrote in her gossip column that when he was in town, he did a show from the Fox studios down there off of Hanley, I guess, or whatever that is.
Hampton.
Hampton, yeah. Mm-hmm. She wrote in her column that he liked his sandwich without crusts, and the producer wanted a chicken sandwich on rye, and that they were told no one talk on the set, and the cameraman was only allowed to look through the camera and not around and peer around the camera and look at him. He goes on his show on Fox and calls it a complete and utter lie and calls out Deb Peterson as a liar, and there's that newspaper just making stuff up again.
And there was a correction in the paper the next day?
There was no correction in the newspaper as of
she
yet.
She stood by her story?
Yeah, I asked her. Well, she was on the show Friday. I asked her about it, and she hung up on me.
Deb did?
Yeah.
Courageous.
She's like, gotta go, out of time, see you later, click and
hung
up on me.
Oh, well, okay. Well,
so you don't have any insight, so.
Well, I used to edit Deb, and I used to have to answer for things like that.
Right, but it's a gossip column. And
right.
And that's a gossipy thing.
Yes.
Right. And so it's his word versus her word.
Yes. It reminds me of the time that Deb wanted to write about a person at a charitable event, a wealthy person who went into the restroom and it was reliably reported that he did not wash his hands.
Right.
She wanted to put that in a column, and I threw my body in front of that.
Because there was no way to prove it?
Both. Yes, and because it was came under that category of too much information.
Right. Yeah,
I think.
See, no, I would have let that go through.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. That's why. That's why you're the.
That's why you've got the big radio show, buddy, and I'm just on for a few minutes.
Oh, I totally would have gone with that because that's what a gossip column is. It's gossipy. But people weren't upset. People were saying, "Well, who cares? You know, if no one talks to him on the set." But that wasn't the argument. The argument was he denied that he said it. And she wrote it, and so he's calling her a lie. But he's a bully anyway.
Well, he gets into fights with everybody. He had a big shouting match with Geraldo, which was kind of like, you know, who do you root for? Is that Iran or Iraq?
I saw that, and I said, boy, you got to go a long way for me to be rooting for Geraldo. But then at the end of that whole thing where they were screaming and yelling, Bill O'Reilly turns to Geraldo and says, so what's coming up on the show?
Oh, yeah. And then afterwards, he says, you know, I have nothing but the greatest respect for Raleigh. He's a great guy. And you can see why he said that. They're two peas in
right.
a pod. I mean, one's to the left and one's far to the right. But they're a lot alike. My sense, after having watched that on Reliable Sources yesterday, was that Bill was ratcheting it up, and Geraldo was following, but other
right.
people might have a different.
I mean, it's just a fraud. All right, you have some you have some big news about the Post-Dispatch.
Well, my friends at the paper are telling me that the management is getting ready to get rid of the Newswatch section, the interpretive, the news
analysis
section,
the Sunday segment.
The Sunday segment.
Right.
I'm sure some of the features will remain, but it will not under the current. Thinking it will no longer be a standalone section, and the everyday section is in jeopardy as we know it. What they're talking about is taking the other weekly feature sections, such as the fitness section on Monday and the food section, making those the feature section. And so the everyday section, a section that goes back, I think, as long as 75 years, has been a terrific brand for the Post-Dispatch. May go away. Now they may keep the name. That is a little bit up in the air. The comics, I'm sure, will remain, and
right.
The advice columns and things like that.
Sudoku's not going away.
The puzzles and okay. And the most important thing of all is of course the horoscope.
Now why don't they just fold in the Get Out section and the health and fitness into the everyday section?
I'm not sure that it won't occur that way. But essentially, what they're doing is they're reducing the amount of content that they're going to give you as opposed to the past.
Okay, this is we're not going to have the same amount of pages, but combined into one section. You're saying they're going to cut some out, and it's still going to have an everyday section, but it will nowhere be as big as it is now.
And it may not be called everyday, and basically reducing what we call the news hole.
And why is that?
Tough economic times for newspapers. There are many many newspapers of the Post-Dispatch's size, say the Kansas City Star, that long ago did not have standalone editorial or news analysis sections, and the Post-Dispatch is apparently going in that direction, which is too bad. Now, the papers where the editor came from, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and the managing editor came from the Dallas Morning News, still both have these sections. And so it's a step back. There's no question about that, if they do it. It sounds like they probably will.
Right, and it's a vicious circle, because if they're doing it for cost, I mean, I don't think anybody would care if you got the same amount of news and the section went away and they folded it into another section. But the argument is, since money's tight, they're going to try and save money, fill less of the news hole, which then gives people less of a reason to actually buy the newspaper.
Exactly.
Right.
That's a problem. Now, one could hope that they're going to take all the money that they're going to save on newsprint and invest it in online, because that's where a lot of readers are heading, and enhancing that. Maybe they'll make that argument,
right.
But I suspect it's that they aren't making their numbers, and that the stockholders need to see that they're making their numbers, and
right.
So on. Now, Post-Dispatch, of course, now is not run by Pulitzer. It's run by Lee Enterprises, and the Bloomington Pantograph doesn't have a separate standalone news analysis section, nor does the Northwest Indiana Times or the Lincoln Journal Star. That's right. That's your.
I was on the cover.
Your neck of the woods.
I was on the cover of the Lincoln Journal Star once.
They're not bad papers, but they are not as substantial as the Post-Dispatch.
Yeah.
Now the Post-Dispatch is more like them than, or will be more like them than it was before.
And the interesting thing is that all of those towns you mentioned are a lot smaller than St. Louis.
They are. The Post-Dispatch is by far the largest property that the Enterprises owns.
What do you make of the Chicago Tribune being sold?
Well, I'm hopeful that it will no longer be a publicly traded entity, that the owner can invest in it and make it stronger and better. Not that it's terrible now. It's actually very Chicago Tribune, Los Angeles Times, the key properties are very substantial papers, but they are being taken. They were being taken down.
Right.
However, the person who bought it, Sam Zell, is a real estate mogul. He knows next to nothing about journalism, and we have no idea what sort of journalistic values he might have.
That might be good, or that might be bad. He might say, I don't care what you write, just get people to buy it.
That's right, and he can, if he wants to, he has a lean year. He doesn't need to go killing sections and
right.
Firing staff. He can say, oh, it's a bad year, but maybe next year will be better, just like a farmer.
There are people who say newspapers are going the way of the dinosaur. True? I mean, do you see a time in 5 years that newspapers start folding?
I see a time. I think there'll always be ink on, or maybe not always, but for a while, there'll be ink on paper, but ink on paper will be less and less attractive to readers. That doesn't make me particularly pessimistic. I mean, there's some things that are eternal, which is, I think, storytelling is eternal. Ink on paper is ephemeral. It's a little bit like cheese. Cheese is eternal. Fondue is ephemeral.
Right.
That's for a metaphor.
But we mentioned this last week, that everyone's going to the websites to get their stories and not buying the newspaper. But where are the websites getting their stories from? They're getting them from newspapers.
Exactly. It's an echo chamber. And what you can only hope is that the advertising, which is ramping up exponentially online, at some point is going to support news staffs that can put fresh, good reporting on the web.
Yeah.
So far, the numbers, while the advertising is increasing, the raw numbers are nowhere near what print is producing in terms of revenue.
Right, so people are still reading newspapers hand over fist than websites, but more advertising is going into websites.
Right.
Which doesn't make any sense.
The rate of increase.
Right. Last thing for Dick Weiss of WeissWrite.com. The New York Times had a correction in their Sunday magazine?
Yes, well, they had a correction in their paper, a rather belated one, on an article, a very fine article, except for the one problem with it, about women who served in Iraq and who suffer from post-traumatic stress syndrome. Part of their post-traumatic stress had not only to do with combat, but with getting raped and abused and harassed. And the reporter put together a long report, I would say probably more than 10,000 words, but there was one person she interviewed whose story did not stand up. And they found out about it just a week before publication of the article. And it took them, but they decided not to pull the article. It was already printed because they pre-print the magazine, and they distributed it. It took them a week to print. They should have printed the correction the same day as the article appeared, if not in the magazine on page two where they usually run the corrections. And it took them a week to get that correction in. Then they were beat up by the right-wing commentators, including Fox, who put out some incorrect information about their correction. That's how it goes.
Well, but you know what? When you're wrong like that, you're wrong. Was she fired?
No information to that effect. I think that they ran an editor's note. It was about five paragraphs long, in which they said they never, if they'd known what they'd known about this source, they never would have put it in the article. The interesting thing is where the mistake was really made, and I don't know if it had to do as much with the reporter as with editors or fact-checkers, to check this woman's story out, they gave the military just a few days before publication to get back to them.
Mm.
They've been working on the story for a long, long time.
And they call them the last second and not giving them enough time to respond. Dick Weiss of WeissWrite.com, WeissWrite.com, also a longtime editor of the Post-Dispatch. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.